I'm going to call the meeting of the Board of Directors of October 26, 2006 for the Fall Convention of the California Council of the Blind to order. All right. Very good. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks.
Okay. Number one is call to order and roll call. So we will move along to Ron King to do our roll call.
Okay. President Jeff Tom.
Here.
First Vice President Mitch Pomerantz.
Here.
Second Vice President Gene Lozano.
Gene is ill and wishes to convey his best to the convention.
Secretary Rhonda King, here.
I don't know if she's here now.
Treasurer Peter Pardini.
Here.
Immediate Past President Catherine Skivers.
Here.
Board members Jerry Arakawa.
Here.
Artis Bazin.
Here.
Al Beagler. Gabe Griffith.
Here.
Jane Cardis.
Here.
Ann Kaiser.
Here.
Louis Preston.
Here.
There's two more. Barbara Rhodes.
Here.
Richard Ruetta.
Here.
Okay, everybody but Gene Lozano.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. Number three is reading of the agenda, so we will do that. Four, reading and approval of minutes, Rhonda King, Secretary. Five, Treasurer's Report, Peter Pardini, Treasurer. Six, CCB Audit, Peter Pardini. Seven, Fundraising. A, Fundraising Report, Rhonda King, Fundraising Committee Chair. B, Vehicle Donation Program. Eight, Publications Committee Report, Bernice Kandarian, Publications Committee Chair. Nine, Report on Newell Perry Trust Fund. And 10, Report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. And those are both Kathy Skivers. 11, Ad Hoc Committee on First Timers Fund, which will be Jerry Arakawa, even though I didn't put his name there. 12 is CTEVH Exhibit, Richard Rueda. 13, Better Business Bureau Membership. 14 is Public Comment. 15 is Executive Session. Before we go on to any other suggestions, I do want to add one item to the agenda, and that will be just an informational update on the exploration for a new office for CCB. Any other items that people want to add to the agenda?
Mr. President?
Yes.
I would like to add a comment about history to the agenda, and I also would suggest that in the roll call, we give the reason for Al Beagler's absence as his resignation.
Yes.
I think that should be a part of the minutes.
Yes, I intended to do that, but I can do it right now. That's perfectly fine. Thank you, Kathy. Al Beagler has resigned for medical reasons. He, I am happy to report, is not giving up a lot of his activities up in Butte County. He's doing pretty well, but for certain medical reasons, he has decided that it would be difficult for him to participate on the board. He sends his best to all of us and is very interested to know exactly what's going on, so I would hope that many of us would communicate with Al and you know, convey to him our best as well. So we'll certainly miss him, but he just felt he wanted a board member who could be a little more able to attend every convention than he's going to be at the present time. Okay, so he will technically, that's why he is technically not a board member as of the reading of this particular agenda and roll call. Okay, any other items to be added? Okay, hearing none. We have a couple sets of minutes. Would anybody? We have two sets of phone conference minutes. They're reasonably short. I would suggest that we just go ahead, since we haven't gone over them as a body yet, and then one of them was just sent out very recently, go ahead and read them. Would anybody care to read? Yes.
Ron volunteered. I don't have to.
Yeah, I'll do it. I've been practicing in my room all day.
Go for it.
I just about have them memorized. Okay. CCB Board Minutes, June 7, 2006, teleconference call. The meeting was called to order at 7:39 p.m. by President Jeff Tom. Number two, Rhonda King called roll, Artis Bazin, Al Beagler, and Peter Pardini were absent. Three, Mitch Pomerantz reported on the status of the statewide respectability coalition regarding disability rights. CCB is the only blind organization involved thus far. The decision for CCB to formally join this coalition was delayed until board members read the related documents. A board poll would be taken via phone or email list. 4. Gene Lozano asked for board approval for volunteers to receive parking fees at the fall convention. BDM 0626. Mitch made the motion to approve the parking fees for volunteers. Kathy Skivers seconded motion, and the motion passed unanimously. 5. Gene spoke about CCB renewing its membership to America Walks / California Walks, of which CCB is a charter member. He also reported on the organization's most recent master plan for curb ramps, but it did not include audible pedestrian signals. Gene will address this issue and attempt to resolve it. The membership renewal fee is $250. BDM 0627. Kathy moved to renew the membership. Jerry Arakawa seconded the motion, and it passed. 6. Jeff said emergency evacuation would be included in the fall convention program. He also said the technology and rehabilitation committees were hoping to have Freedom Scientific and Humanware executives there. As a result of resolution 2006A7, Jeff said he was making headway with these groups. 7. Barbara Rhodes talked about transportation agencies and proposed changes. She also suggested CCB get more involved in the decision making. She, Jeff, and Jean will discuss the revamping of paratransit regulations. 8. The vehicle donation program. It was discovered that ACB has been receiving funds from vehicle donation programs in all 50 states, including the one CCB is contracted with. ACB claims no knowledge of this and said the issue will be visited and resolved accordingly. John Learned said individuals use the ACB website when deciding where vehicles should be donated. Full disclosure of this issue will be made to the ACB board members and other state affiliates. BDM 0628. Kathy made a motion for Mitch to bring the issue up at the ACB board meeting in July, and Rhonda seconded the motion. The motion was amended to have the vehicle donation issue placed on the board agenda. The amendment was accepted and the motion passed. The meeting was adjourned at 8:51 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Rhonda King, Secretary.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda. Are there any additions, deletions, etc.?
Move the minutes be adopted as read.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. In discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Rhonda. We'll go on to the next set of minutes, which are from September 6th.
Okay. CCB board minutes, September 6, 2006, teleconference call. 1. The meeting was called to order at 7:30 p.m. by President Jeff Tom. 2. Rhonda King called the roll, and all board members were present. 3, Jeff read the agenda. 4, discussion commenced regarding scholarship recipients attending conventions, as only 4 of the 12 or 13 recipients would be attending. It was thought that the issue could be revisited next year. There was some concern at the low number of scholarships awarded this year, even though the deadline date and advertising attempts were expanded. Jean Lozano said there are fewer students registering. The elimination of loans and other financial sources are major factors. 5, Peter Pardini gave a brief treasurer's report on revenue and expenses. Revenue totaled $229,123 and expenses totaled $271,645, showing a negative total of $42,542. Other revenue and expenses. Investment revenue totaled $38,852 and miscellaneous expenses totaled $165, showing a negative amount of $3,854. The biggest shortfall in revenue this year is a vehicle donation program. Jeff will inquire into their methods of advertising, such as car dealerships, etc. BDM 0629, Mitch Pomerantz moved to accept the treasurer's report. Jean seconded the motion, and it passed unanimously. 6, Mitch discussed the vehicle donation program snafu between ACB and the several state affiliates. He suggested an ad hoc committee between ACB and CCB, but the motion was defeated. ACB President Chris Gray is appointing a national committee. However, the committee will consist of 3 board members and 3 state affiliate presidents. Chris plans to have the committee meet prior to the board meeting at the national convention. 8, Peter reported on the CCB financial audit for 2003. It was completed and scheduled for delivery within the week. The engagement letter for the 2004 audit was received with a promise for completion by December 31st of this year. An addendum to include a performance clause was recommended. The board is apprehensive to commit to a 2005 audit if 2004 is not completed by the expected date of December 31st. Monthly progress reports may also be required. This year's cost is $10,000. Next year's cost is $11,000. 9, Rhonda reported on the various CCB fundraisers. Besides the Southwest airline tickets, several 3-day, 2-night stays at locations in Laughlin and Lake Tahoe are included as prizes for the fall sweepstakes drawing. The order for CCB jackets is scheduled for early October. The Carnival Cruise continues to be advertised and will receive much mention at the fall convention. A live auction rather than a silent auction, may be considered for the fall convention. And Mitch encourages members to join the MMS monthly monetary support program for ACB, where a percentage of the funds can be designated to a state affiliate of your choice. 10. The ACB legislative seminar was discussed at this meeting so that people could get signed up and possibly get flights at a more reasonable cost. Announcements will be placed on the California Connection and in the Blind Californian. BDM 0630. Jerry Arakawa made a motion that CCB send 8 persons to the seminar. Mitch seconded the motion, and after brief discussion, the motion passed with 2 opposed. 11. BDM 0631. Kathy made the motion to proceed into executive session. Gene Lozano seconded the motion, and it passed. The executive session resulted in the passage of BDM 0632 that provides for CCB to participate in litigation against the California Department of Transportation, which will include specified access issues of concern to those who are blind or visually impaired. BDM 0633. Kathy moved to exit executive session. Jane Cardiff seconded the motion, and it passed. BDM 0634. Mitch moved to adjourn the meeting. Several members seconded the motion, and it passed. The meeting adjourned at 8:47 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Rhonda King, Secretary.
Okay.
Move acceptance or approval of the minutes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Before we go on to the Treasurer's Report, left out introductions and announcements. So I think announcements.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Rhonda.
I just wanted to announce that the CCB jackets have been made and they are available. They will be selling tomorrow and Saturday at the CCB auction exhibit table. And I also want to encourage all of you. Well, let me go back with the jackets first. Small through extra large are going to sell for $30. And 2, 3, and 4X are selling for $35. We decided not to sell them for $40, the 4X. We're just going to sell the 2, 3, and 4 at $35. And we also want to encourage all of you to purchase fall sweepstakes tickets, which are still available until Saturday night at the banquet. They're $1 a piece. Or if you feel really generous, you can buy the whole book. 10 tickets for $10. And as most of you know, the grand prize is 2 round-trip airline tickets on Southwest, anywhere they fly in the continental United States, good for 1 year. And we also have a one trip to Lake Tahoe. It's a 3-day, 2-night trip to Harvey's Casino, including 2 cabaret show tickets. And 2 3-day, 2-night stays in Laughlin, one at the Ramada Express and one at Harrah's. We also have a 3-day, 2-night package at the Pioneer in Laughlin, which we're putting into the live auction at the banquet.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda.
Mr. President.
Okay, are you going to talk about monthly MMS?
I wasn't going to talk about it right now, but I was going to talk about something else of importance.
Okay, well, let me just say this then first, and I'll give you the floor. It is our hope, I have to line up and make sure that it happens, but it is my hope that we will have copies of the MMS form, Monthly Monetary Support Program form, and if I can bring it off, we'll be able to get some help for folks to fill it out. Remember, this is an important way not only to help ACB, but also a portion of the proceeds can be designated to go to CCB as well. So for some of us like me who haven't changed mine yet, I urge you to, if you have the wherewithal to do so, to help ACB out and maybe help CCB as well. So I'm going to try to make sure that we get copies up there and that we're able to get some help in terms of filling those out during the course of the weekend. Okay, Mitch.
Yeah, I was going to mention it, except that I didn't. Oh, we got a mic. Except that I didn't get a chance to look for mine, but I also wanted to make a couple of other announcements. One, for those people who don't know, Jeff Tom, our president, is also a compadre of mine on the ACB Board of Directors.
Yeah.
And the other announcement that I wanted to make, and Rhonda reminded me when she read the minutes, is that President Chris Gray, ACB President Chris Gray, has appointed a committee to address some of the concerns vis-a-vis the vehicle donation program. There are three board members and three state affiliate presidents, and I am one of the ACB board members appointed to that committee. That's the good news. The not-so-good news is that we have not yet put a meeting together, but Chris will be here, and a couple of us will lobby him strenuously to put that together, because obviously we do need to address the situation of the vehicle donation program. So I did want to mention that, since Rhonda talked about it in the minutes. The committee has been established, and we will meet.
Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Hearing none, let's go on to item number 5, Treasurer's Report. Peter Pardini.
Thank you, Jeff. California Council of the Blind Treasurer's Report for the period January 1 to October 15, 2006. Total revenue in the amount of $297,625. Total expenses for the period, $309,465. We had total revenue less expenses, and we ran a little shortfall of $11,840. But due to our investments, we have total other revenue of $34,424. Other expenses, and which amount to $19,850. But in the past, I inadvertently included in our operating expenses the amount of funds that we paid out based on the Ellen Murphy Fund, and that amounted to $19,520. Basically, our other revenue less expenses equals $14,574. And if we include all of our revenues less all of our expenses, we have an amount equal to $2,734. So we're in the black.
2,000 what?
Miracles will never cease.
734.
And we do anticipate additional revenues coming in from vehicle donations and other sources. So I really hope that if the stock market continues to do a bang up job like it has been doing.
So do I.
I do anticipate the CCB having basically a surplus of revenue less expenses for this end of this year.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Mr. President, Mr. Treasurer,
yes.
I do have a question. And as chair of Finance and Budget Committee, I'm a little nonplussed by the staff support figure that is under by about $27,000. I hope this is something you can answer outside of executive session. We usually do a better job of figuring this out. I mean, we know what staff salaries and all of that are. Can you explain why there's such a discrepancy here?
Yes, I can, Mitch. Basically, this report is through October 15th.
Okay, so this is through the year.
It's not the, I mean, our budgeted figures are annually budgeted.
Okay, there we go. I'm just a little slow. It's been a very long day.
Well, that's two. You're taking off on the auction.
Well, I'm afraid so.
At this point, I can go over our balance sheet. We have basically balance sheet for the period October 15th, 2006, in the amount of $652,165. Loans receivable in the amount of $1,736. Total other assets, which are basically our investment accounts, of $928,568. Total fixed assets of $23,759. Total assets, $1,606,229. Total assets and total liabilities and total assets, excuse me. We have liabilities in the amount of $6,773. Net assets in the amount of $1,599,455. Our total assets and total liabilities and net assets are $1,606,229. This concludes the treasurer's report.
Okay, any other questions or discussion?
Move the treasurer's report to be accepted as presented and submitted for audit.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I sure like this treasurer's report as compared to the last few we've heard.
Oh, there is.
Second.
Just to compare.
The second, Jerry. There were several, I think. But
one of many odds during my report here. I'm trying to find. Basically, at the same time last year, we were running a negative, the difference between our revenues and expenses, in the amount of $985. So we've done substantially better this year, considering we're in the plus positive side, and that's due to the
stock market.
Thank God for the stock market, and we've been really watching our expenses, so that's been very helpful.
Yeah.
You guys deserve it.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Okay, Peter, go on.
Basically, as stated in the minute, we have received our audit report for 2003, and it looked fine. I forgot to bring a copy, but it's in the office and available in accessible format. And they're diligently working on the audit for 2004, which will be completed by December 31st, 2006.
Yes, they will be coming into the office middle of next month to do the intra-office part of the visit. So we are moving along. They've already done some preliminary work on it. So at this point, knock on wood, I see no reason why we couldn't have an audit on time yeah, relatively speaking, shall we say. And my goal is, as I stated before to the board, that we get our 2005 and 6 audits done next year.
Yeah.
So.
Jeff?
Yes.
And at this point, I'd like to make a personal announcement.
Okay.
Due to my job and the fact that I'll be getting married in May.
Who's the lucky girl?
I won't be seeking nomination as your treasurer. My term is up. But I'd like to remain on the board, so I really would appreciate a board seat as a director. I will continue to assist the treasurer and also with his support and Jeff Tom's support, I'd like to continue monitoring CCB accounting work so that our accounting records are maintained in an orderly and accurate manner. And I really enjoyed being treasurer. I'm still going to be involved, but not on a day-to-day basis as your treasurer. I also will be still co-chair of the exhibit room and help oversee the CCB registration desk.
We want to thank Peter very, very much. It is really, and I know Kathy would echo this sentiment, it is very hard to know, you know, what we would have done without all of Peter's hard work in keeping the accounts of this organization straight, in giving us the information we needed to be able to monitor how things are going for the organization. You know, Peter's work is just incredible, and we are very blessed to have had and continue to have his expertise. So thank you again, Peter, very, very much. Congratulations.
Mr. President, I want to point out that Peter and, the President and the Treasurer have the responsibility of putting our money where it should be to try to make money for us. So when times got difficult and interest went down, he helped make some decisions that really put our money where I think it shows that now we're okay, because he helped make some good decisions and the money was put where it was safe and it made money for us and we've still got it. And I say that even though Peter won't have his wedding on my birthday or Eric's, which are both in May. I already tried for that one.
All right. Okay, let us move on now to item number 7, fundraising. First, Rhonda, as our fundraising chair, you want to?
Fundraising. I thought I just did this a minute ago, but okay. The fundraising committee has met a couple times, and as you know, our fall sweepstakes is going well. We sent out numerous letters to Reno, Las Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and Laughlin. And Laughlin has come through with 3 hotels. All right. Lake Tahoe came through with 1. We got a letter from MGM and Circus, and of course, all of those, like the Monte Carlo and the New York, and whatever, all of those fall under the category of the MGM Grand, and they do not donate certificates or anything, because they do their own fundraising activities and stuff through employees and so on and so forth. So if we try Vegas next year, it's going to have to be other hotels and casinos outside the MGM conglomerate. So we'll try like Treasure Island and the Riviera and so on and so forth. But anyway, we also got a response from a couple in Reno, and they're not able to grant us anything this year, but they told us to keep them in mind for next year. So we'll do that again. And we're hoping to also look under, you know, into other avenues. So like I said earlier, we have the 3 hotels for Laughlin, 1 for Lake Tahoe, and the Southwest Airlines ticket. That's for the fall sweepstakes tickets. And our CCB jackets were ordered. They were produced. They're available tomorrow and Saturday. They are royal blue with white print on the breast. It's got the CCB logo and motto, which it says the California Council of the Blind. And it's got the picture of California and a big eye. And at the bottom it says, we have a different vision. Amen. So, as you know, it's not going to be a silent auction. This convention is going to be a live auction. It's going to be held immediately after the banquet. And even if you're not able to come to the banquet, if you want to participate in the auction, yes, just come to the banquet room right after the banquet. So you can participate in that. And the fundraising committee will be meeting Saturday afternoon at 4:15 p.m. And we're going to discuss new fundraising ideas for next year. And there's been a lot of recipes going back and forth on the email list. And it looks like somebody wants to put together a cookbook. Well, we don't know. We're going to be in the process of looking,
Madam Chairman,
into that. Yes.
I believe that there are recipes and cookbook waiting to be put together already. And I'd like to know if it's still in the office. It was. It should be there. Yes, well, we still have it. And it's a solid book put together by these members some time ago.
Yeah, I don't know if it was at the office. Somebody said that it was. Okay. It's at the office?
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, we'll check into that. But following this convention, we're going to go ahead and start putting into motion
the scholarship sweepstakes for next year. So we'll be looking into that, too. So I think that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, question of Rhonda.
You know, it's a comment for her committee, because I never can go to that because my committee meets at the same time. In looking at the way we've raised funds in this organization, our major funding sources have come from business ventures like our car donation program and our thrift stores and from our bequests that we received. We've got lots of others, but those are the major ones we've had. And I hope when they are considering fundraising that you give some thought to looking around to think about, and if anyone in the audience could think about it, it might help us. If we could come up with some kind of a venture, something that's there that will make money on it because no matter how hard we try, we can't carry the programs we have just with the membership. And I wish you'd give some thought to that, and I might have a couple of thoughts when I get a chance to talk to your chairs.
Yeah, I know Rhonda has actually put in some time already thinking along some of these lines. We don't want to go into too much detail at this point until we have some ideas more firmly, you know, entrenched. But I know the committee realizes the need to diversify, and I know Rhonda's giving some serious consideration to some things. But and your ideas, Kathy, are very happily accepted, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Rhonda?
Yes?
I just want to put a plug in about the CCB fundraising cruise.
Uh-huh.
That'll be held in May. And I'll be giving a brief little blurb about that at the general session on Friday afternoon. And I'll be able to sign people up at the convention here. So I really want to encourage any and all people who would like to attend. So, and again, that'll provide some additional revenues for CCB in the amount of $90 per cabin.
Yep.
So I really would encourage people to think about that. And again, I'll give a little.
It's not an extremely expensive cruise.
I think it's right around $600, but unfortunately, I left all the documentation in my room.
It's $525 for an inside cabin, and it's $565 for an outside cabin. And outside cabin means that your room is inside, but you have a window looking outside. Okay. No, it's actually not a porthole. It's an actual window now.
A window?
Yes, a real full-size window. Yes.
Did you get open?
Oh, I don't know if you can open it.
Oh.
What if something else opens it from outside?
Yeah. And it's 4 days and 3 nights. And you spend 1 day at sea, and then you spend the second day in Ensenada, and the third day at sea and back home again. And it's really inexpensive for somebody who wants to cruise. And you can pay by month, but it's got to be paid in full, I believe, by
February 1st.
First.
That part I remember.
Right. So, and then, other than that cruise, what else is there? Did anybody else want to have anything else to say on fundraising?
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about the vehicle donation in a minute.
Okay.
So, but if anybody else has any board members have any other fundraising issues? Okay. On to vehicle donation program. Couple things. First half, informational. We do seem to have bottomed out. I'm happy to report. The last two checks, well, plus the September check, which we haven't gotten yet, but which we are, which we have found out how much is going to be, amounts to somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 a month. And if that continues, we're hoping to get close to maybe between $90,000 and $100,000 for this year, and maybe even better, a little better for next year. So, you know, I'm thinking a little more optimistically. If nothing else, the worst is over. It's never going to be what it was, but on the other hand, we had a few months there this year where we were getting $4,000 or $5,000, and hopefully those days, at least the vehicle donation folks think those days have hopefully ended for a while and won't see as much of that anymore. I would like to propose something to the board on sort of a pilot project basis. I mentioned this briefly to the board before and also to chapter presidents. The vehicle donation program has a sort of a pilot program that it's working on that car dealers can have signs and publicize a program that they can do at any point in time. And also, if a car is referred by someone from a car dealer, and the car goes to the California Council of the Blind, then the car dealer can get $50. So what I would propose is that we, and have talked to Ed about this, is that first in the greater Hayward area, that we begin by soliciting, doing a solicitation to local car dealers, get signs and countersigns and brochures, et cetera, seek out car dealers that are willing to publicize the program for CCB. You know, they may make some money out of this, and we may make some money as well. It won't cost us anything. The vehicle donation program provides the countersigns. You know, all it costs us is Ed, you know, going out to these places and giving them the materials. So it seems to me, I would urge a motion to try this to see if it helps us in any way. If it does, we can look at, you know, asking chapter presidents if chapters want to participate in this on a wider basis. So do I have a motion to that effect?
Mr. Chairman, before a motion is made, I have a question I'd like to ask for a point of information.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if vehicle donation has clarified with the Attorney General's office that we can do this, or if we can clarify it that we can do this, because there are sometimes when you cannot make a donation to someone else for raising money for an organization, and this sounds great, but I just want to make sure that it is not going to cause us any difficulty with the Attorney General's office.
I'll check with Michael Irwin, and we can always make the motion subject to that. But I'm sure they have. They've been doing it for a while. But nonetheless, Kathy, just to be sure, I will certainly make sure that Michael and his folks have done that.
Yes, that subject came up for us when we went into the grant business when I was president, and the Attorney General informed us that we cannot pay someone for doing grant writing. And I don't know if that's changed or what, but I had quite a discussion with them about that. We wanted to give a percentage to the grant writer, and they wouldn't allow it. They said absolutely not.
It's still not kosher.
No, you still can't do it. And that's what it brings to mind. I want to just be double certain, Jeff, that we can do that.
Yes, I think this is just a flat $50 for every car that is referred in. That's, I think, how it works. But I will certainly have that checked into if this motion is passed before we actually do anything. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. President.
Yes.
I'd like to move that CCB embark on the pilot program that Jeff described.
Second.
Who seconded?
Several.
Artist? Was it Artist?
And Ann.
Ann?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay, Rhonda?
We're going to be advertising this program at car dealerships. I mean, isn't this kind of defeating the purpose at a car dealership? Aren't they wanting people to use their old vehicles as trade-ins?
Yeah, if they're that old, they're probably not going to care. And besides, if the car dealership doesn't want to do it, they won't do it.
Right.
They won't take all cars that come to them.
Well, I think it's a good idea anyway.
Mr. Chair?
Nonetheless.
Yes, Barbara?
Yes, did you include Kathy's amendment?
Okay, it'll go with that. That's implicit, because I understand, you know, we just want to make sure that it's legal.
Thank you.
Okay, hearing no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those say nay. All opposed? All right, thank you very much. That's all I have on fundraising. Anybody else on vehicle donation or any other aspect of fundraising? Okay, Publications Committee. Bernice, you want to get up to the front and we'll get you on a mic?
Okay, I just wanted to give a brief update on Publications Committee. First, I want to talk about the large print edition of The Blind Californian. As many of you know, the MSMT, which became Braille Solutions, closed its doors, and for the last two issues of The Blind Californian, we've been using the services of Lynn Laird. Her business is called Ann Lynn. And the summer issue, we used a print font. We were trying to use a different font to see if it worked better for people who are still complaining about the being able to read the large print. And we used a font called Futura. And when she went to do it this time, it was not on her machine. So we used Microsoft Sans Serif. But we'd like to have some feedback on these two print fonts to see if either of them are working well for people. I have the editor sitting on my left here, and he would like to make a comment about the Blind Californian.
One of the things we'd like to get started again is a series that we once had called Around the State. Those of you who would like to contribute what you're doing and like to share, it inspires people and maybe gives ideas to other chapters about doing things. So it would be a worthy column. We also started a cooking column. Sylvia Lopez is doing that. But we still need contributions. A lot of the magazine is still from the internet and stuff like that. So contributions would be really appreciated. Thank you.
But one of the other things that we're going to be doing on the committee is trying to come up with some proposed guidelines for improving our guidelines for selecting the publications awards. And Mike has asked for some more concrete guidelines in terms of size and length of various articles in the Blind Californian, et cetera. The last thing that I wanted to mention is, for those of you who may not know, we did, I think it was in June, I was trying to remember the date, get our Failing Sight and the Failing Plight published in Spanish. And I hate to name names because it was truly a group effort, but in the end, what really moved it to the printers was the help of Louis Herrera and Maria Lopez on the translation. This was all translated by our members, and we did not have funds to do that, and so they really, really put the polish on it for us. Now, that's don't steal my thunder. Well, the one thing that we need to move forward on with the Spanish version is to get it recorded in Spanish, and I'm not quite sure how we're going to go about that. But I guess I could ask her if she would record it for us. The other thing is that we now have an Asian version in the pipeline of Failing Sight. That concludes.
Great. Thank you. Any questions of Bernice before we go on? Okay, thank you, Bernice. Great. Okay, back to a couple of things for a minute, sort of moving backwards. Back to introductions. Donna Seliger, ACB Secretary, is in the room. Well, glad you're here amongst us. Okay, and I wanted to mention one other thing, because I would forget if I don't, and that is in the minutes of one of the teleconference calls, it was mentioned that we were hoping to put convention emergency preparedness on the fall program. We are still struggling with this in the convention committee. It is a difficult issue, and it isn't ready to be presented yet, but it's something we know we have to deal with. We had the incident of the fire alarm a few years ago, and we're going to work out some kind of a methodology of looking at things for presentation. But it is a complicated issue that it is presented, and it presents for our conventions with all of us folks sitting around here in one of these big sessions. So I apologize that we haven't been able to get to that yet. It is a critical issue. Something definitely will occur before next spring. Okay, thank you. They were on item 9, 9 and 10, which are both Kathy issues, Newell Perry and Ellen Murphy, respectively.
Okay, first of all, the Newell Perry Trust Fund is an endowment fund, and Newell is spelled N-E-W-E-L, 1-L. We have at the moment some very fine, we like, we have UBS, they're called now, they used to be paying whatever we like, the trustees are Pala France Wolf and Abigail Vincent and myself. And we like the gentleman we have, Barry Crane, who's a fine Scotchman with an accent to go with it, and Tom Murphy. And they're two great guys, and they've made some good moves for us in getting us increased money. We have been giving several grants this year, not grants, they're gifts to people. And we're finding more and more elderly women who do not have computers, who are not eligible for rehab or anybody else. So we take into account their needs, what they're going to do with it, and their income. And, of course, that's always a thing. If somebody had $1 million, we're not going to get them a computer. But we've given a lot of those. I don't have the exact number of things we've done this year. We continue to have people that we can help most of the time. We rarely have somebody we can't help, but occasionally we get one that we just feel we can't do. But in any case, we've made about, I think, roughly 10 different kinds this year. And our account this month went up about $3,000 from last month. In that fund, the Ellen Murphy Fund, I start talking about Newell Perry. I mix them up. This is the Ellen Murphy Fund. Anyway, in the Ellen Murphy Fund, where we have Crane and Murphy and these three trustees, we yesterday morning had $277,295.02.
we're aware we're going to have to start traveling. Ellen said to me that I could travel for CCB, use the money, and say that I was raising money for the trust fund. And I said, I'm not going to do that because we'll try to have to raise it somehow, but we're not going to use the money for trust to help people for me to travel around. And she said, well, you better think of a way to raise the money. So that's what we're going to try to do. We want to get some publicity. We want to go to some groups and see if we can get some money into the fund. We're talking about putting some newspaper information out and also maybe some radio programs and TV spots. But that's forthcoming. Anyway, right now we are looking at a couple of other people who have asked for help. One is for a computer, and the other one is for a very expensive piece of equipment. And we'll be looking at that because the salary range, the money that she has, seems to be better than most of our people. When you have someone on SSI, there's very little question that they don't have the money for much of anything. But when you get to people who have a couple thousand dollars or $2,500 a month, we look very carefully at those. In any case, 277-295-02 is what's in the Ellen Murphy Fund. And in Newell Perry's fund, while going through the history, I found an old document that said that fund started out with $30,000. We have that one with Dean Witter. It's been there for a very long time. This last month, it went up about a couple thousand dollars, about $3,000. Last month, it was $171,564.78 as of yesterday morning. It was $174,866.38. We are want to remind the board that this endowment fee, while the Ellen Murphy doesn't have control over it by the board, this one does. If we want to spend any of it, we need to ask the board. But I also want to point out that if we ever get in dire straits, and they'd have to be dire, but if we wanted to, we could allocate some of this money to a project. But since it's an endowment fund and since it's making money for us, unless we really get in a tight bind, we wouldn't want to do that. And the trustees on this one are Richard Guetta, once again, Pat Wolf, and myself. And both trustee groups will be getting together with their brokers before the end of the year. We find that we have very good people working for us, and we're going to talk to them and have explained to us what they think we should be doing. And if we agree, we'll do something different. Otherwise, as long as the market stays well, we're well. And that's the end of my report, Mr. President.
Okay, we will bifurcate these. Is there any discussion or questions on the Newell Perry with one L trust fund? Hearing no discussion.
I move
all
to
those
accept.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, we need a motion.
Who to accept? Are we doing both?
No, we're doing Newell Perry first.
Okay, I move to accept Kathy's report on the Newell Perry Trust Fund.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that report has been accepted. Anybody want to make a motion on Ellen Murphy?
So moved.
There's a motion and a second by Jerry to accept the report on the Ellen Murphy Fund. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Excellent. Okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay, we are down to item number 11, the Ad Hoc Committee on First Timers Fund, and the chair of that committee was Jerry.
Thank you. This committee was developed in response to a resolution in the, I believe it was the spring, at the spring convention, for the board to examine the feasibility of creating a fund kind of analogous to the Durwood McDaniel First Timers Fund. And by way of history, just a very brief description of the Durwood McDaniel Fund. Basically, the fund is designed to increase membership and to bring in members who could benefit the organization through their enthusiasm, through their knowledge, through their involvement. And one person is selected residing east of the Mississippi River, and one selected west of the Mississippi River. And it was decided, it was determined by the Durwood McDaniel Committee that fundraisers were more appropriate to raise money for these scholarships rather than having affiliates contribute to the fund. Recipients send in applications, and among the various questions they're asked to write information concerning why they want to be picked for the scholarship, how they can benefit the organization. Applicants must be members of the organization to qualify for the scholarship. And so that's really, in a nutshell, how the National First Timers Scholarship works. First, I want to thank publicly the members of the committee, Jeff Ask, myself, and Rhonda King, and Lupe Medrano, to be part of the committee, and we wanted to have Kathy as a member as well because of her invaluable experience with the Durwood McDaniel Committee. And, of course, Jeff sat on the committee. And we looked at a number of issues related to the First Timers Fund, and we kind of identified some of the needs at the state level. First, I think it was determined that it was a good idea to try to do this, and that it would be a fairly large project on an ongoing basis, and that it would require fundraisers, kind of like what they do with at the national organization. It was determined that perhaps one person residing in the north could attend the spring convention, another person residing in the south obviously would attend the fall convention, and that we looked at putting a dollar amount to the scholarship per recipient, and then we kind of looked at the idea of $500 per person per convention, which would provide for accommodation, meals, and transportation to the convention. So, but obviously it's going to be a fairly involved project, $500 per person per convention, as I said. And we looked at the ways in which we could possibly raise funds. When we started to look at that, when we also looked at potential expenses and how they can go up and down, and some of the factors that might change the actual dollar need, we really kind of backed away from $500 per se. Now, it may be that when an actual report is put together, when we actually develop some solid recommendations, that we do stay with the $500 per person. But we looked at factors such as whether the person would be willing to have a roommate, whether they wanted to stay by themselves, the always fluctuating costs of hotel and transportation and so forth. So in terms of the fundraising effort, we looked at developing a permanent committee that the president would appoint, and they would look at specific fundraisers, kind of like what the national organization does. We looked at the kind of criteria we need for our applications. We kind of developed some possible questions that they would fill out, some possible items to be filled out in an application. And then things like I mentioned, whether an individual would be willing to share a room and so forth. We would want, as part of the promotional effort, encourage individual chapters to perhaps set up a first-timers fund. And that that obviously the board would allocate the lion's share of the money for this fund. We would look at initial funding through CCB general funds until we got something solid in place, and then we looked at the criteria that we would use for applicants and the final awardees, and we wanted to make sure that whoever attended the convention would be encouraged to go to the special events, to the general sessions, and that the winner must be either a member at large or a member of a chapter. And we would ask the winner to also either write an article about his or her experiences at the convention, or to have a member of the fund committee write a letter, write an article on that person's behalf for the Blind Californian. And we reasoned that perhaps this attendee would be so new to the organization that he or she may not have enough information to write an article. So someone on the committee would be available to assist in that purpose. And I think I mentioned that we felt that the committee should be appointed by the president, and that it should be an ongoing effort. And I think we all came away with the idea that the effort would be a worthwhile one, and I think that's the recommendation of this ad hoc committee.
Okay, Jerry, do you want to make a motion that we implement this for the 2007 year with one person from Northern California to the Northern Convention, and one person from Southern California to the Fall Convention?
Yes, I would like to. I will move that we implement the committee's recommendation, not only with the one person from the North to be chosen to attend the Spring Convention, one member from the South to attend the Fall Convention, and that $500 initially be allocated to both the Spring and the Fall winner. And that the president appoint a permanent standing committee to oversee and monitor this effort.
Second.
Okay. Is that Jane?
Who's second?
Kathy. Okay. Sorry. Discussion? Okay. Hearing none. I think the committee did a great job. We're trying to come to grips with a lot of issues. But I think the sentiment was strong on the committee that we really want to do this. Congratulate Lupe and her chapter for bringing it to us. And with that, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you. The motion is adopted. I'm going to appoint, and I may add a couple members, if people are interested in volunteering for this committee, you can come see me afterward, but for the moment, I'm going to appoint, hopefully those that served on the committee will all want to continue on that committee, and if anyone doesn't, they can see me afterward or whatever, but we're going to get this committee going fairly quickly because we want to get a letter out to the chapters hopefully by December so that we can get a selection made, you know, by, say, February or whatever, but we'll solidify the dates, but we're not going to let any grass grow under our feet because we know this is an important undertaking. So,
Mr. President?
Yes.
I just want to make a suggestion that when a person is chosen to come to either of the conventions, perhaps a mentor should be planned to be with that person at least part of the time and kind of make sure they come to the first-timers and make sure they're kind of aware of different things because not everybody reads the large print in Braille and some people aren't as good about, you know, checking everything out thoroughly, so it'd be good if there was a mentor.
It's an excellent suggestion. Thank you. Okay, any other discussion on this item? All right, let's go on to item number 12. Richard, do you want to discuss CTEVH?
March 2nd through 4th, 2007 in Santa Clara at the Marriott will be the 48th annual CTEVH as California Transcribers and Educators of the Visually Handicapped Conference. And last year we had a booth there at the exhibit hall. And it'd be a great way for CCB to promote itself, maybe share some scholarship applications, brochures, and any other literature we have. And I believe, I think you have it, Jeff, the membership or the exhibit price is $125 for 3 days. And I'm talking that it'll give us about 8 hours on Friday, Saturday, and about 4 or 5 hours on Sunday to exhibit and be a part of that big conference. There's close to 1,000 people there, teachers, students, families, and it's a great way to promote CCB. So I'd like to see us have a booth there.
Okay.
Mr. President, I so move.
There's a motion?
Yes.
There is a second.
There's a second.
Barbara seconded.
Okay.
I just want to add, it's going to be very easy, I think, to get members for the table. We've got education committee people up in the north. We have people that we can draw upon from the Bay Area as well, outside of that committee. So I think we're going to have no problem if we get this table to get enough people to be on the table the entire time. So,
Mr. President, I think this is something that CCB really needs. We have to get out there and let people know who we are and where we are, and this is a wonderful chance to do it.
Mr. President.
And I'm very pleased to see it brought to us.
Okay, Rhonda?
Is there any way at this booth that we can set up and plug in a small television or AC/DC television or something and run our video?
Yes, there is.
Nonstop, and that way it'll just keep running? And
yeah, we have this electrician that's a member of our organization. We may ask him to see what he can
do. Rhonda, other booths last year, for example, the Lighthouse had a laptop, and they would keep showing their cam video. So,
there
you can do that.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
That's very
great idea.
Find out how much
that costs. We'll need to find out how much that costs, Mr. President.
Yes, but it's definitely worth the investment to do it.
I don't think it costs any more. I think it's just a matter of putting down you need electrical support on the application.
Ed informs me that we have the television setup necessary to do that already.
Cool.
So we will work on that. Okay, any other discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Excellent. I will have that carried out next week. We'll get our exhibit form in, and we'll start making our plans. Okay. Better Business Bureau membership is number 13. We have been a member of the Better Business Bureau down in, I think it's Colton. Yes, thank you, Ed. Colton. For several years now, and the annual dues or membership is like $600, and it does encompass one of the areas of a variety show fundraisers, one of the counties. It doesn't encompass the other. We could do a couple of different things. We could abandon Better Business Bureau membership completely. We could just continue it in this one county. We could have it in two counties, being the two counties that that we have our variety shows in, the other one being San Diego County. Or we could change our status to where our home office is in Hayward for a dues which they are pretty sure is going to be $390. So,
Mr. President,
yeah, I want to hear the, from. I know Kathy was involved in the original decision to put in Colton. So, and I want to hear. I definitely do want to hear. You know, the what and wherefores of what we ought to do. So go ahead, Kathy.
Mr. President, we got into this getting the Better Business Bureau, and I thought it also covered Los Angeles, but it did cover places where we have our fundraisers, some of them. And there are so many organizations of the blind that were out there, and people were calling the Better Business Bureau asking about our fundraisers, and they were saying, no, they never heard of us. So we talked to them, and it's a good thing to be on record, as they make inquiries about the council other than just the fundraisers. They hear people. At that time, we had some thrift stores around, and they wanted to know who we were. I think it's important to stay with the Better Business Bureau. It may be cheaper in Hayward, but we're not doing anything to raise funds in Hayward. And I think we are doing something down there, and people in Hayward seem to know who the council is. And I really would like to see us continue to keep our Better Business Bureau rating, because I think when people down south, with all the stuff that's going on with Heritage and other groups that are out there doing weird things, I think we need to have them be able to call and say, who are the California Council of Wine? Are they Better Business Bureau members? And I think they ought to be able to say yes.
Okay, are you making that in the form of a motion?
I will make a motion that we continue to have our Better Business Bureau membership as it is now constituted.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion?
Mr. President?
Yes.
In this day and age of computerization, and maybe, Kathy, you can't answer the question, but it would seem to me that if we are registered and members out of Northern California, all of the BBBs should have access statewide. And if that were the case, then it would seem unnecessary to be registered in just the one location that any Better Business Bureau would have access. But barring definitive answers to that question, and I agree, but I would think that that if we joined as a member up north, that they would have access statewide.
The answer is sort of yes and no, and then I'll let Artis talk as well, and you, Kathy, also. If they go to the Better Business Bureau website, then they'll find out we're a member, no matter where we're a member.
By phone?
If they phone this particular one that has jurisdiction over L.A. and a couple of other counties, not including San Diego, then no, they would say they're not a member of our local Better Business Bureau.
Gotcha.
So I guess that's the Artis, you want to amplify?
Well, I was just going to mention there is another avenue, and I don't know if you've checked in, and I must be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly what it's about, but I do know there is also a Better Business Bureau online. And that you can join. And I was wondering if that might be something we'd want to check into before we decide if we want to do the regular Better Business Bureau. I don't know too much about it, but I do know companies that, you know, on their website it says they're a member of Better Business Bureau online. So I'm not sure what the differentiation is, but that might, you know, be something we could check into while we're looking into it.
Yeah, I think we'd be, if we join either of these two, we would be on that.
On what?
On the online part.
On the online?
Yes, but that would still present the issue of telephonic, what you get when they call the Colton Business Bureau for phone number. That would still present that outstanding issue.
Do we know that? If that were the case, I mean, are they selling online memberships?
Well, no. See, Kathy, if you go, there is an online membership, and no matter what local bureau you're on, you'll appear on the national bbb.org online Better Business Bureau. But Having said that, if they phone up to the Colton number over the phone and say, are they a member of this Better Business Bureau, I would tend to say they might not. They're only going to say those that are their dues-paying members, I suspect. I'm not sure of that, but I don't want to be...
I suspect that if we quit paying dues, they're going to say, no, we're not members.
That's right. I would agree with you. I would agree. And you're right. But if we were on any of them, we would be members on the online one. It wouldn't matter. But the telephonic, I suspect they wouldn't consider us a member of their Better Business Bureau. They'd just say, no, they're not members. So, we have a motion on the floor. Is there any further discussion? Okay, the motion is to retain our current membership. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Because I get them.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Thank you. Okay, we have the history. Kathy, you wanted to make a comment on the history?
Is this legitimate?
Yes, I do. I want to tell you all that, excuse me, first I want to apologize to this board for being so long and getting this history together. It's coming together. You'll be hearing some tomorrow. But we have a 50-year history that was done by Perry Sundquist with the assistance of Pat Urena. And George Fogarty read it and said it had no personality. And if we do the history, we better get some personality in it. And I bring that up now because the committee has been given a copy now of the 50-year history. We really were lucky. We have probably the last print copy of that thing we can find. We now have one Braille copy. But I want to thank Mike, our new editor, Keith Lee, for helping us because Bernice and Roger and I, as a subcommittee, picked out a female computer voice. Yeah, I'm getting into computers, guys. Anyway, we picked out this voice, and we have this read for the people on our committee who do not have, the computer skills. And so these Mike did for us. He copied it for us, and we paid an additional amount to have him do all the work of getting it on there. It's amazing to me that this thing can take a thing that if I'd read it on tape would have taken me hours, and the thing just read it on there. Anyway, those were $5 a copy. And I wanted to ask this board, we are going to use it as a resource document. It has some wonderful stuff in it. And, bios of Dr. Perry and Al Gill and Marcelino and Sundquist and Tenbrook and others. But it sure is lacking in one thing, and I read it twice before I found out what was making me mad. There is only one bio in there of a lady, and let me tell you, anybody that's ever belonged to this council knows we gals do the work. So that'll be a resource document. My question to the board is, do you think if we can get a price from Mike, if it would be $5, it may be more than that? I wonder if we would like to make that available to people who would like to have that 50-year thing, because it is worth having, and it is very good. Even everything says doctors, boys, and boys is always in quotations. I never saw girls in there once in quotations. Anyway, we will be working on this, and we have some things together you'll be hearing about tomorrow. But I wonder, does the board think it would be a good idea to have these tapes available, if Mike can do it for us, if we could get these tapes available to people who would like to have them? Periodically we get a request for a history, and for now it's completed. And because of time elements, while we're talking about time, my time is moving very quickly. We're really going to try to get that history out. I'd like to be here when it's completed.
For $5,
we'd have to ask Mike if he could make that $5 would be the same if we did more. That's what it was for the committee. But Mike, would it be more than
$5? No.
Yeah, and it's three tapes, and it comes with a tape that says side one and what it is, and it's in Braille so you can see what it is. And I really think that a lot of people would enjoy reading it. And besides that, Mr. President, I think if some of you read it, you might be able to give the History Committee some suggestions after you've seen what's there. We've got a lot more. But if you see what's there, you might be able to give us some ideas as to what you think needs to be a direction, some of the things we might do. I think the committee would appreciate that.
I make a motion that we go ahead with this. If we can get these tapes for $5 a copy, not to exceed $5 a copy, I don't see how we could go wrong.
Okay.
Ann? Did Ann second? Yeah. So it'll be available to the members.
I have a question.
Okay, Peter.
Is it possible to get this on another format besides tape, like a MP3 or on CD? Would that be the same cost?
What?
talking about more than one format.
Well, what's the format of the... Is it a... What's the source document? I mean, what's the source... Is it on a computer?
It's on email.
It's available like
a... I mean, can we make it available in like a text file?
Yes. It's available as MP3 or on audio tape as a two-track C90s 178s.
Because I'd really prefer to have it on another format besides audio tape.
But I would prefer to have it on audio tape.
Well, I think, does the maker of the motion and the seconder have any problem with amending the motion to expand it to audio tape and other audio formats?
If Roger and Mike think that can be done, that's fine. It's on email. But I want to have the person who gets it on email to pay the same amount that the people who are going to get it on tape do.
I don't think anybody's arguing the other audio formats would be the same.
I think that would be fine for right now. We're going to do the history as we get it through the first time around. It's going to be on tape because it's going to be large. It's going to be expensive. And until we get it where we can get it into other formats and pay for it, the $1,500 that was allocated for the history project isn't going to do that all. But as far as the motion, oh, Matt, you made the motion here.
I didn't make the motion.
Mr. Chair, it's gotten so complicated.
You weren't the second.
Yes, I would make a motion that we have more than one format if we can. And if we can do that for the same price of $5, because I think that's very reasonable.
Is that accepted by the seconder? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ann accepts that. Any just more discussion? Rhonda, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Hold it, and I'll recognize you, Bernice, after...
I was just going to say that, you know, Kathy was saying that whoever gets it by email, she's hoping that they pay their $5. I would just suggest that the person requesting it on email not receive it on email until receipt of the $5 is received in the office.
Well, let's not worry about that. That's a technical...
It could be put on disk to do that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, you can
okay.
do it.
Jeff, there is one problem.
Well,
we need... Kathy, you found your print, original print copy, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we discovered that there is something missing in one section of the book, and what needs to be done is the hard copy print needs to be compared to the electronic version before we start doing all of these things.
I think we should send out what we have on the tape. This isn't the finished product. This is a 50-year history, and I think that's probably one of the constitutions that's missing. I would like to have them see it for the content that's in it. This is only going to be a resource document, so... I don't know. We're not going to redo it on the tape.
Okay, we'd have to put a disclaimer. But, you know, the point is we discovered one thing missing. We don't know what else might be missing. That's the issue.
Well, if it's missing, we have it someplace else. But this is what they put together, and it looks pretty much there to me.
And are these three 90-minute tapes or 60-minute tapes or 30-minute?
Okay, any more discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those... did I hear Mike?
It is perfectly possible to reformat it to NLS format. So that's a possibility. It's currently on C90s 178s because that's what I think Kathy wanted. So I'm just saying that.
Okay, thank you, Mike and Bernice, for all of your input. Okay, any more discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, the motion is passed. Okay, this is just a brief update. The committee for looking into a possible move of the office, and specifically looking at Sacramento, did meet at the last convention. Just kick things around. Subsequent to that, we got some information. Essentially, the information we found looked to the fact that if we moved to some comparable area in Sacramento in terms of size of the building, we'd probably be spending 25% more. And that didn't include moving costs. So I haven't done too much. I am going to look. I've looked into a couple things. I have to get back to another realtor for that company. I also, and this is about the only other item of the update that I have, I also want to look into, I don't know whether this will go anywhere or nowhere, and obviously any information will first come to the committee to look at and then to the board if anything does come of it. But I'm also going to look into going to the Lions that own the building where the Sacramento Society is currently housed. That building will be potentially vacant. I don't know whether they're going to sell it or what they're going to do with it next year, because the Society is moving into new quarters. So, you know, there's no harm in at least exploring that possibility. It may come to nothing, but no harm in asking. So I might talk to them about that. So far, we haven't really had too much encouraging news on that front, but that's really where it's at. Anybody that has any questions?
Move to Colton.
Yeah. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
We could move to Marysville.
Yes, I think Marysville would probably give us a good rate. That's so much for staff's input. Yeah.
About Tuba City.
Okay. Any other items from the board before we go on to public comment? Okay, hearing none, if you will stand up and move to the aisle, we'll have folks get you to a mic if you have any public comment. Now's the time. And please state your name before you give your comment so that we know who you are.
Hello, everyone. Eric Calhoun here. So glad to be at another convention. This is with regard to the item that you were talking about with regard to first-timers. I'm in the process of changing chapters, and I'm about the next monthly meeting that they have. I'm not going to identify the chapter, but I am going to say that I'm going to be submitting dues to them. But I'm thinking very seriously about the possibility of serving for 1 year on your first-timers committee, because there are some people out there that just don't have the privilege enough to be able to attend these type of conventions. And I can tell you from the two times that I have spent time, one in Ontario, twice here in L.A., that I have really, really enjoyed these type of things. So I just want to go ahead and encourage you the best way possible to think very seriously about this. If you would have at least five people from the north and five people from the south, that this might come into fruition. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next. Okay, it's a quiet group, quiet board, quiet group. We're pretty quiet today.
We're tired.
I think, we may have. All right. Do we have a motion to, or any other last items from any board members or anyone?
I have a question.
Yes.
I should have done it before we got through public comment. I want to know about the project Single Mingles. I want to know. No, I'm not going.
You qualify.
Hey, listen, when I grew up in CCB, we mingled fine, and we didn't have to have a separate party. I'm wondering what that project is about and what its purpose is. And
matchmaking.
And I just, curious about it. I didn't think it was a CCB activity. That's not the usual activity, I don't think, that we do. I always kind of looked at it as something that might draw away from the hospitality room. I think the purpose of going to the hospitality room is mixing with people and getting to know everybody. And I'm just wondering, this seems different to me, and I thought maybe there's something that I'm missing.
Oh, so. I'm glad to talk to you about it. We started this, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago. There was a number of single folks that felt it would be good if we had a separate time where single people could meet and greet each other, because often you go to hospitality, it's crowded, it's hard to spend very long talking to people, etc. And so we initially, a couple of us, the first time Zina Rubel and I just invited people to come to a room just to see if single people would like to have an event where we could meet one another. And no, CCB does not sponsor it. When Zena and I did it together, we incurred the expenses and reimbursed, you know, anything that the hotel expenses, et cetera. The second event Zena and I also did. We didn't have any at all last year, and then I was approached a couple of times by folks that felt that we ought to start it up again because there aren't very many opportunities, and they felt that it would also bring in people that aren't current members. If they read on our website, this is a way that blind people can meet one another, and I think this is very true because I've talked to three blind people in the last month who are not CCB members, and I invited him to come to the CCB convention, and I just kind of read through the different things we were having, and I mentioned the single mingle. He said, oh, okay, well, I think I ought to go to, you know, so I do think it's a way to get people to come to convention that may not otherwise attend convention, and it's a way for single to people to meet one another, because obviously we don't have the same advantages other single people do. You can go on Match.com, et cetera, but, you know, there's some problems with meeting people on the Internet, so this way you can actually, you know, see people and meet people and know that they're rational adults, you know, et cetera. So anyway, I hope that's enough explanation. Well, it has been in the past anyway, so, you know, this is just a more formal way to do it.
Okay, Richard, what do you have to say?
How much interest is there, Mr. President? How much interest is there in this?
Wait a minute. Richard is asked before.
Oh, wait, I was going to bring up a different subject.
Kathy, go ahead.
No, I'm curious. How much interest is there? First of all, I think any way to get people to convention is good. Yeah. But I think if people come just to meet other single people, I don't think that's what we're all about. And I really, you know, it's not that I have a thing against it. Fortunately never had, I guess I was lucky. I didn't have to go to a place to meet single people. But in any case, I'm curious as to how many people, what kind of interest is there, artists? How much?
Well, the last, the very first one we had, the informal one, we had 35 people come. The last time we had it a couple of years ago, we had 25 people come. This time, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know.
Well, I can give you the artists.
Well, I know how many are pre-registered. That's, you know, but I've also talked to a number of people that haven't pre-registered, so.
How many are?
18.
17.
Do you have any artists? Do you have any kind of information? Do you know just from meeting people if any of them have joined CCB as a result that's coming through this vehicle?
We have no way of knowing because we don't ask them if they're members when they come. So
we don't know if they're currently members. I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Well, I know of at least one person who certainly, although this person might have joined otherwise, has become a much stronger member because they participated in the single mingle. So, you know, I don't think we can categorize and say, you know, it's good, bad, or indifferent, but, you know.
Well, I have a question now.
I'm going to imagine you come with me. That's why it was.
Yes, Rhonda.
Is, out of curiosity, is, she said there people were pre-registered. Is there a fee for this? I mean, is there?
Yes, it's $10 because
where
we have
the money.
Rhonda, just to answer that really quickly.
Okay.
It's wholly paid for by those who are participating.
Right.
CCB pays nothing.
Oh, I know that.
Okay.
But I mean,
the fee goes strictly for the food and the soda and the beer, whatever.
And the cost.
Whatever they do, the bartender,
the cost
are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff.
Yes. Thank you, Richard.
I want to make an announcement. This is something I don't give enough publicity to. If for those of you out there, we have in January this year, and I wasn't here at the spring convention to announce this, but most of you may know about this, we are still active on our listserv. We have four lists. The CCBL, the discussion list, which has around 92 members on there right now. A couple of those are duplicate emails, so probably about 80, 85 people are on that list. And as you know, it's very active. We also have the Blind California list where we do the quarterly emails in email format, and you can still get your preferred format in the mail. This is just a supplement. And then we have the, I think that's up to about 60 subscribers unduplicated on that email list. Then we have the California Connection list, which is about oh, 70 or 80 people subscribe to that list, where all they receive is a weekly California Connection. And then the Blind Students has around 20 or 30 people on their list, and we moderate that through Google Groups. So if you are interested or are having troubles resubscribing or changing your email from Comcast to rr.ca.com or wherever you have your changes, please see me or email me at ccb.moderator@gmail.com. And I just wanted to give you guys a listserv update of, you know, CCB's affairs online. What's that? Affairs online. It kind of just segues from the last.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Do we hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
There's a motion and a second.
Do we have an executive session?
No. Yeah. Yes. Well, we're adjourning the regular session, and we will have an executive session hereafter. That's correct.
And if anybody's interested in helping out at the fundraising table, please come and see Rhonda.
Yes, we're just going to get names really quickly and then clear out for the executive session. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn the regular session?
Come here a second.
All opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very, very much for attending.